tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want.
morning, everybody. I want to say a big welcome to all my listeners out there on this Saturday, and thank you for tuning in to the Hope Show today. I'm so happy all of you could join me, and I hope you will enjoy today's message. Today's show started out with a little bit different style of music than I usually play on my shows, but I'm setting the stage for today's message. I hope you really listen to the lyrics of the last two songs particularly. The songs Peace of Mind by Boston talks about just that, finding peace of mind in this crazy world. And the last song, Deceiver of Fools by Within Temptation, talks about being deceived by the lies that Satan tries to tell you every day to lead you away from that peace of mind. It talks about being led astray and falling for what the world has to offer you instead of seeking the kingdom of God. This brings me to the title of today's message, Battle of the Mind. Fellow brothers and sisters, all of us battle issues of the mind every day. Not a single one of us can honestly say that we don't have a single problem in this area of our life. We are born sinners. Seeking the kingdom of God is not something that comes naturally for most of us. It's a day-to-day struggle to choose right from wrong. Our mind tries to tell us to do this or to do that, and our heart, that little voice inside of us, says, "No, I don't know about that. Maybe you should reconsider." Most of us are led by our emotions, and we do things based on how it makes us feel at that moment. A temporary feel-good may lead to a more permanent problem later, though. It may lead to regrets that can't be undone. It's never in our best interest to rely upon strictly our emotions. They can lead you astray in a hurry. The mind is one of the most powerful organs in our body. The other is the tongue. These two things can get us into a great deal of trouble in a very short amount of time. Remember, as I always said, where your mind wanders, your body shall surely follow. If you disagree with me, then step back and take a peek into your past and think about some of the things that have happened in your life. Where did all that start? It started with a temptation, a seed being planted in your mind. God created us with a soul, which consists of the human mind, our will, and our emotions. As a matter of fact, we are actually made up of three parts. The first one is our spirit. That's the most inner part of our being. This is our vehicle by which we relate to God, if you're a believer. If you're a non-believer, then I'll let you fill in the blank that best relates to your lifestyle right now. And then we have the soul in the middle. As I just said, this consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this is our vehicle for relating to other people. This is where our misdirected desires stem from. This is where it kind of gets tricky, and that's where we kind of fall into some problems. Thirdly, we are given a body, a vessel, by which to navigate the physical world while we are here on this earth. This is also known as our flesh. When we talk about the flesh, we are referring to the operation of the human soul through the human body, with the soul usually in charge. And once again, that's where I'm saying most of us fall into a trap. It's very easy to do. Our flesh is corrupt. It's polluted and unable to submit to God's law. A sinful mind is hostile to God. In Romans 8:5-8, the Bible talks about those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Have you ever found yourself in this predicament? Maybe you find yourself saying something like this: "I do not understand what I do or why I do it. For I want what I want to do, this is a tongue twizzler, folks, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." Or perhaps maybe you've caught yourself saying something to a similar version of this: "When I want to do good, evil is always right there beside me. for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But then, I see another law at work in my body, and it wages war against the law of my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of the law of the sin that's within my body. God just described what it's like to live in a death container, to live in our flesh, to be led by our emotions. In James 1:14-15, the Bible tells us that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires and enticed by them. Usually that's like a strong or intense, some would call it an evil desire, something that drags us away into doing something that we know that we shouldn't be doing. And then after that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death within he or she who is led astray by his or her own emotions. God allows temptation in our lives in order to isolate, identify, and uproot unrighteousness within us and expose the areas of our life, our flesh, that we need to work on. How many of my listening audience can relate to today's message so far? Is there an area in your life in particular that you are grappling with today? Perhaps straddling the fence between right and wrong, maybe just kind of teetering there, you know, one day it's a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, you know, you're just kind of back and forth. Sometimes the wrong can feel so good, folks. Sometimes the wrong can feel so good. It has an allure about it. You can taste its appeal. All of your emotions are on high alert. But folks, temptation by itself is not a sin. Temptation does not have to lead to sin. However, no sin comes into being without temptation. Let me ask you this. What do you think the process is by which temptation then becomes a sin? What do you think the process is by which temptation then becomes a sin? Let me break it down for you. Let me tell you what that process is. Sometimes we talk about evil desires of someone, but the Greek word translated for evil desires is actually a strong or intense desire. Doesn't that ring softer in our ears than hearing it put that we have evil desires? Oftentimes people don't want to hear the cold hard facts, but want to feel good about what they are doing. The mentality of a lot of people is this: let's just sugarcoat over the issues going on in this world so we don't hurt anyone's feelings. In my opinion, churches are starting to water down the truth too much in order to make everyone in church feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Nobody wants to hear that there is a very real hell out there. Nobody wants to hear that. There are a lot of things in church that are now tolerated in today's society to make everyone feel as if they fit in, have a place in church without having to change certain things about themselves. Things that would have been unspeakable 20 years ago. But folks, that's a whole another story. I became distracted, I went down a wormhole, and I got on a tangent, folks. But those are just my beliefs. I'm not going to apologize for doing so, for going off into a wormhole, but I will now direct myself back to the message at hand. Before I went off on my rant, we were talking about the evil desires being translated to a strong or intense desire by the Greek definition. A strong or intense desire was built into each one of us by the Creator. He created each of us with a deep need for love and acceptance so that we would seek Him That was the initial purpose, was so that we would seek Him. But somewhere along the path of our sinful nature, we have become misdirected. When we become misdirected, we seek to fill our needs or our desires and to have them met somewhere outside of God, somewhere in this world. It's important, though, to remember that anything outside of God only meets the surface of the need and provides only a temporary relief. Therefore, the act must be repeated over and over again because we never are completely satisfied. So we have to keep repeating that cycle. Because for all of our trying to find satisfaction in whatever we're doing, whatever deed we're committing, satisfaction will always evade us. It is said that we spend our resources on bread, which alone does not satisfy. We devour, but are still hungry. We eat, but we are not filled. Does any of this ring home to any of my listening audience today? Is this where you are right now in your life? Folks, when we repeatedly turn our intense desires outward to this world that we live in today, a pattern of behavior becomes fixed, and then it becomes a habit. The very need or desire that we were created to have, that was meant to turn us toward God, has now turned us away from God. Instead of being freed from our eternal fleshly needs, we become enslaved to our needs, and satisfaction will never come. We will spend our whole life seeking something, something, and yet still having a void in our life and not being able to find what that thing is to fill our void. This becomes a misdirected desire. It then takes root in us and grows unrighteousness, which is a fruit called sin. Remember in James 1:14 it says, "By his own strong desire, he is dragged away and enticed." The misdirected desire, the very root of our being, develops a magnetic attraction to something in this world. The very root of our being, that misdirected desire, develops a magnetic attraction to something in this world. Every person is different. I ask you to take a moment and think about what addiction, deed, object, you fill in the blank that suits you. It could be anything. What has a magnetic attraction to you? What has that magnetic hold on you that separates you from God? What is that something that you are drawn to again and again? Everybody has something that is a stronghold in their life. I ask you to be honest with yourself. Name it and claim it. This object or situation is what they call a stimulus. A stimulus in the world acts as a magnet to entice you into doing something. It is meant to bait you and trap you into doing certain things that perhaps you know better than to allow yourself to get sucked up into, just actions or whatever. But yet you seem powerless to stop yourself from doing these things anyway. The stimulus of the world and the thought of doing whatever said thing that is for you becomes more powerful, more appealing, seemingly more satisfying than the alternative. It's important to understand that the stimulus, the thing that attracts you, has no power of its own. What tempts one person will not tempt another. The power is not in the object or the situation of the world. The stimulus itself is a neutral factor in the grand scheme of things. Unless something is enticing you personally, it cannot tempt you. The stimulus only the stimulus's only power is the attraction that it holds for you as an individual. Let's say, for example, one person may be attracted to malls and shopping. Anytime you're near one of these establishments, you have a strong or intense desire to go buy something, whether you need it or not. For other people, it might be an attraction for old cars. A man may see an old Mustang or a Model T and think that he has to have that one, that particular one, to add to his collection. Yet someone else may be lured by the bar scene, the alcohol, the dancing, the flirting, the party life. Someone may be attracted to various drugs, and yet for other people, these things don't hold any appeal or temptation to them because perhaps they are tempted by something entirely different. A stimulus is a very individual, personal, and unique temptation or experience for each person. Perhaps you have more than one thing that stimulates you or entices you to do things that perhaps are not wise choices for you. Folks, here's what happens. The root of unrighteousness in each of us, the stronghold in our individual lives, mate with that stimulus, that thing that attracts us in this world. And the mating of these two factors, the stronghold and the stimulus, then result in conception and sin is born. Remember I said earlier that temptation alone is not a sin? It's actually how we respond to that temptation that gets each of us into trouble. When you allow the stimulus of the world to draw you into the temptation, and you act upon that, then it becomes a sin. If one or the other, stimulus or misdirected desire, did not exist, then sin would not occur. However, it is unrealistic to think that the magnetism of what the world offers us will disappear, because it's not. As long as you are living on this earth, you will struggle with strongholds of one sort or another, and maybe many. You will always be faced with the battle of your mind. Every day, for as long as you live, the rest of your life, your time here on this earth, you will battle your mind every day. No one is exempt from these temptations. Does this sound gloomy and negative? Perhaps. But more important, I'm being realistic with you folks. And upon that note, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break and continue with today's message when I return.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. We'll be right back. When the devil finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny says you don't bite, no child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again, because I told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, we don't fight, no child, no.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you now. No, 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 no. You're my revival song. You start where I belong. On my knees, on my knees. When I'm weak, you're strong. You need me here when I'm on my knees, on my knees. Oh, it starts with me. I try to work outside of you, knocking down doors I shouldn't be going through. Well, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. You take my burdens off of my shoulders. You break the lies that hold me back. With me.
Good morning. Welcome back, everyone. I'm happy you were able to join me here this Saturday. If you're just tuning in today's message is on the battle of the mind. Fellow brothers and sisters, all of us battle issues of the mind every day. Not a single one of us can honestly say that we don't have a single problem in this area of our life. We are all born sinners. Seeking the kingdom of God is not something that comes naturally for most of us. It's a day-to-day struggle to choose right from wrong. This world is full of stimulus or things that intrigue us, appeal to us, bait us, lure us, and eventually trap us into doing something we probably should not be doing. This is known as a stronghold in our lives. The temptation is unique to each individual. Temptation alone is not a sin. It becomes sin when you are magnetically drawn into the midst of a situation and act upon it. From the song I just played, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, you can hear just how quickly things can escalate in our mind. We may be having positive thoughts one moment, and things are going great, and then all of a sudden, some temptation is brought before you, and it can rapidly go downhill from there. It may start out with just a song or a dance, maybe good friends hanging out together having fun, and then before you know it, you're gossiping or foul-mouthing or making fun of someone, maybe a few drinks or an ex is thrown into the already volatile situation. Before you know it, you're doing something stupid. Perhaps someone challenges you to do something. Maybe you find yourself going into a place such as a bar if you know that alcohol is your stronghold. Perhaps a friend asks you to go shopping with them and you become enticed with all those things out there, those materialistic things out there, and you get enticed into purchasing something. Or maybe you find a store that used to fit an old lifestyle. Maybe you find, maybe you find yourself looking at a naughty magazine, if that was something of an old lifestyle, something you thought you'd put down a long time ago, and now it resurfaces. What are you going to do? That's the big question here. What are you going to do? Our human nature tells us that we should just go for it. Have a little fun. What harm could it do, you know? Will you listen to that voice, or will you turn away from that? Folks, I'm not judging you, or even trying to sound self-righteous. Lord knows I make enough mistakes of my own. I'm not immune to such things either. You know, I face these trials and tribulations on a daily basis myself. You know, my mind wages a war all the time. But you know, it's up to me. We all have free will. What choice are you going to make? Where are you going to sit on that fence? You know, like I said, I can't judge you. I have to take the plank out of my own eye before I can even contemplate trying to help you get the log out of your eye. As with the other song I played on the break, it starts with me. What kind of legacy will I leave behind? It's my choice. No one is forcing me one way or the other. God will not force you to do one thing or another. We all have choices to make, each and every day. Jesus said that we would have trouble in this world, and trouble we have. The stimuli in the world isn't going to go away, folks. So don't fool yourself into believing that. So where does the answer lie then? If the stimuli of this world, the things that entice us, are here to stay, then what's the answer? The root of unrighteousness in each of us can be destroyed. Once the root of unrighteousness is gone, the stimulus, the temptation, will no longer have any hold over us anymore. The temptation loses its power and it becomes neutral in our lives. Once our inside is clean, our outside will be clean too. Temptation can lead to sin or it can lead to purity. Either way, temptation forces us to make a choice in each of us. Temptation forces us to make a choice one way or the other. Which choice will you make today? Every time we are faced with temptation, we choose where to take our needs. Will we choose to allow God to satisfy those needs for us? Or will we choose to use the McDonald's drive-through fast food approach? Yes, I said it. The McDonald's drive-through fast food approach. Will we decide on long-term or quick fix? Every temptation, every trial, every tribulation will either force us deeper into the heart of our Heavenly Father, or it will anchor us even more securely in this world in which we live in. Just as our flesh impulses become a fleshly pattern by repeating them over and over and over again, temptation can also cause us to become more fixed on the way of the Spirit by persistent choice. Did you hear what I said, folks? Persistent choice. We all have choices. We all have free will. And we can just as persistently pursue things of the world, but just as easily, persistently choose to follow our Heavenly Father. Which one will you choose? We can let God be our holy habit by persistently choosing Him over the worldly pleasures, the quick fixes to achieve some satisfaction in us that we think is actually a void in our life. Temptation, the battle in our mind, shows us places where we are still weak and responsive to things that we shouldn't be participating in. It exposes our flesh. It unmasks our hearts so that sin cannot lurk there undetected. But now it is forced into the light where it can be squelched and done away with. If you desire purity in your life and long to be free of your strongholds, look to Him. Look up, folks. Look to your Father. Look up. God is the answer. And so I ask you again, what temptations are you personally struggling with today? It's not easy when you're riding on that fence. A part of you says, let's go do this. It'll be loads of fun. And the other part of you is sitting firmly on that fence, arms crossed, not budging, saying, you know better than to do that. You know better. Sometime your mind wages a war with itself. One half is saying to the other, you know what, you're a big old stick in the mud. And the other half is saying, well, maybe I am, but I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know where you're going? That's how your mind works. It wages a war. Which one's going to win? I'm sure you've had this talk with yourself many times. I know that I speak from experience. Don't you just hate it when your mind does that to you? But now is the time to ask yourself which part of your mind is going to be stronger. Which half has more willpower to resist the other? The world has it all backwards, teaching that peace is the result of having enough money, enough friends, enough material things, enough possessions, enough insurance, security systems, etc. But God says, when something in your life or your thoughts make you anxious, come to me. Rest in me. Find your peace in me. That's what God says. People search for life in all kinds of places, generally in all the wrong places, chasing after fleeting pleasures, accumulating possessions and wealth, trying to deny the inevitable effects of aging. Meanwhile, God says He will give you abundant life, abundant life, folks, to those who turn toward Him. He will fill you with life. So many people don't get this concept. They become lost, always seeking that quick fix, when in reality, instead of straddling that fence, they should stay off the edge altogether. Folks, if you know you have a stronghold in a certain area, you need to stay off the edge altogether. Because you know as well as I know, and again, I'm speaking from experience, you know as well as I do, that if you allow yourself to get too close to the edge, and you justify your action by saying, I've got this, it's under control, I won't allow myself to go get too carried away. How many of you have said that? And you go too close to the edge, and you wake up in the morning, and you've done just what you said you weren't going to do. I'm speaking from experience, folks. Stay off the edge. The Lord warns us of getting too close, against us getting too close to that edge, that too many of us are already there. The edge that He or God is referring to is the temptation of sin. One slip of the foot, it would be so easy to fall in sin, and yet so hard to resist. How many of you have been in that place? I'm raising my hand. Will you raise your hand with me? No one's seeing right now. Just raise a little hand and say, yes. Yes. I have been in that place. How many of you are there right now? Raise a little hand. One day, you thought you had it all together. You convinced yourself that you're on the right path, the narrow path, no worries, no concerns, not a single care in the world. Everything was going smoothly. And then some chain of events occur, and all of a sudden you begin to question where you have been, who you are, what you've become. Perhaps you start to question your whole life. Maybe something has transpired that sparks a bit of your old life. The old familiar. Ah, yes. An old familiar friend. Perhaps you find yourself missing that friend, that old familiar, that old faithful, just a little bit. Maybe despite what your head says, in your heart, you miss it a little more than you care to admit. You're riding a cloud. There is an intense temptation to overthrow everything that you currently know, to just have a piece of that old lifestyle back in your life again. Your mind starts to wage a battle inside your head. Which part of your mind are you going to listen to? Yes, one slip of the foot. You are on a very slippery slope indeed if you find yourself there. Time is short, and the kingdom of God is near. Far too many of us are traveling too close to the edge, and we need to move closer to the middle. Closer to the middle of the narrow road. Not on the edges where the hazards of temptation wait for us to hinder that journey home. When you flirt with the fire, folks, you're going to get burned. It's not just a statement. It's not just a what if or a maybe. When you flirt with the fire, you will get burned. It may not be instant, but it will come back. We are called to stay away from those things that will tempt us while we still have the power to resist them. Because if you cater to the idea for too long, you will be sucked into its powerful magnetic force. It's what I was talking about just a few moments ago. If you know there is something in your life, maybe from an old lifetime, you know, your old lifestyle, if you know that there's still something lurking there, an old temptation, an old familiar, don't go too close to the fire. While you still have the power to resist, do so. Don't cater to the idea for too long, because you will be sucked into it. Evil seeds, strong, intense desires, are being planted every day. But that does not mean that you have to continually water them with your thoughts and your actions. Can I get an amen out there? I have to say that again. Evil seeds, strong desires, are being planted every day. But that does not mean that you continually have to water them with your thoughts and your actions. God says to crush those seeds. Set them on fire, and He will remove them from your sight. We are called to be a higher standard than those of this world. We are to keep ourselves free of the filth of the world that we live in, and not to let ourselves be soiled. Fellow brothers and sisters, time is not on our side. When we were born, the clock started ticking. We were only allotted a certain amount of time on this earth, and nobody knows when that clock is going to run out. Time is not on our side. Think about it. Where are you at on your journey in life right now? If God were to come back today, would you be ready to enter the kingdom of God? Or would you hear these dreadful words that no person ever wants to hear? I do not know you. It's definitely food for thought. It's not something to be dismissed lightly. Isaiah 35:8 says, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it." This awareness can lift you up above your current circumstances if you will let it, enabling you to see the problem areas in your life. Will you take that cue? Or will you forfeit heaven? Here's another passage I found. "Let me help you through this day. The challenges you face are far too great for you to handle alone. You are keenly aware of your own helplessness in the scheme of events that you face." This awareness opens up a choice: to persistently go it alone, or to walk with me in humble steps of dependence. The me in this passage is referring to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father also promises us that, "I will gradually change the desires of your heart. Seek me first and foremost, and then the rest of your life will fall into place, piece by piece." Doesn't that sound beautiful? Don't you want your life to fall into place piece by piece? Doesn't that sound grand? Almost too much to even comprehend. This world seems to continually spin faster and faster and faster out of control, until everything in your life just becomes a blur. This world is a very needy place. We are not to look for solace in this world with all of its temptations and quick fixes. We are to seek out the cushion of calm at the center of our life, and that being the God center. This simple process can make a vast world of difference in your life. If you haven't experienced it, perhaps you should try turning the reins of your life over to God. What do you have to lose for trying it out? In Daniel 12:2, the Bible tells us, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Folks, the time is now to decide which side of that fence you're going to be on when God returns, and post haste. You may think that you are a bad person, that you've done far too many bad things for God to be able to forgive all of that, that God must surely hate you, that you could never be good enough for God, but you're wrong. All you have to do is ask for God's forgiveness and invite Him into your life. God's love, mercy, and grace is unconditional. It's never, never too late for a fresh start. When we confess our sins to God, He forgives us and He looks beyond our faults. He doesn't just save us, the deserving ones, not just the righteous ones, not just His favorites. When we ask, the door will be open to all who receive God as their Savior. All, not just a few. God doesn't show favoritism. God's love is equal to all and unconditional. No matter what your past looks like, no matter how bad or how good, not one person's sin is considered bigger or smaller than the next person. We are all on equal playing ground. There is only one level of sin, and it's just sin. It covers everything. You're not put into categories when you sin. It's an equal playing ground. If you've done something wrong in your life, there is no one person better than the next, because we all fall under the same category of sinner. Some people think that a murderer is far more of a sinner than someone who lies or cheats. But God says no, for we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are all sinners, period. There is no, oh, you are way worse off than me, or, well, I haven't done anything nowhere near as bad as that, so I'm okay. God will love me more. Folks, if that is your mentality, then you should think again. Sin is sin. Same level playing ground. You don't have one up on your brother or sister. You are all their equal. Don't be so quick to judge one another or think too highly of yourself. Arrogance and pride are the downfall of many. Fellow brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. And yes, I speak from personal experience, so listen to me carefully and remember this truth. Power, arrogance, pride, all those things, they come in many forms. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. If you think too highly of yourself, oh, rest assured, folks, God will eventually put you in your proper place. And yes, as I said, I speak from personal experience. Rest assured, when you start thinking too highly of yourself, you might get away with it for a while, but eventually, you are going to be put in your proper place. And I guarantee you, that journey is painful. Painful. Power, arrogance, pride, greed, any of the bad fruits you allow yourself to be consumed by will eventually come back to bite you. You reap what you sow. Some examples of this are the husband who refuses to be kind to his wife, the employee who places personal ambition over personal integrity, the wife who withholds herself from her husband to punish or persuade him, taking someone's life, or it may be taking someone's turn, as in a promotion, that you took from someone who was more deserving, Perhaps it's being the other woman or the other man in someone's life, or being a workaholic for personal gain. That's just a few examples, but there are many, many other things that vie for a place in our life. They all spell the same thing, though. Power. Power. And they each have the same goal in mind. I will get what I want at your expense, no matter what. Don't you guys agree with me? Haven't you been there? Haven't you seen that? Power has the same goal in mind. I will get what I want at your expense. In the end, it's all futile. When you stand at the top, if there is a top, if you didn't earn your status by means of integrity, the only way down, the only way is down. Excuse me. Down. And the descent, the crash, is painful. 1,000 years from now, ask yourself, will it matter what title the world gave me? The answer is no. But it will make a literal hell of a difference whose child you are upon his return. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break and let you think about that for a moment. Sorry about the silence. Here we go.
Lost in love. my knees and I am lost for a soul, lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me now. Draw me gently to my knees and I am lost for a soul, lost in love.
Everyone, thank you for joining me here on the Hope Show. I want to take a moment to also thank all the other networks who broadcast my show every Saturday as well. That's what it's all about, folks, working together to get the word of truth out all over this world. Thank you all, audience and networks alike, for supporting my show. If you're just tuning in today, if you like what you hear, then and you wish you could listen to the whole show, well, good news, you can. After I've had the chance to upload the pod to my podcast page, then you can go back in a few hours and click on today's date, August 23rd, 2014, on my page, Hope by Beverly, on www.shazizradio.com, and you'll be able to listen to the entire show at your convenience. So tell your friends, send them a link. Let's get the word of truth out to as many people as we can possibly reach. The title of today's message is Battle of the Mind. And for all of you who are listening right now, don't you all agree that each of us battle issues in our mind every day? Not a single one of us can honestly say that we don't have any problems in this area, because we're all born sinners. Seeking the kingdom of God is not something that comes naturally. It's a day-to-day struggle to choose the right from the wrong. Most of us are led by our emotions, and we do things based on how it makes us feel at that very moment. A temporary feel-good may lead to a more permanent problem later, though. It may lead to regrets that can never be undone. It may haunt you the rest of your life, and for what? That moment of self-satisfaction? But is it worth losing so much? Perhaps your very soul, even? Only you can answer that question. I'm not in any place to judge you. I have my own battles that afflict me daily in my own mind. But if it helps you to know this, we are all in the same boat together. We are all tempted, we are all deceived, and we are all trapped in our own web of wanting satisfaction and seeking it in the wrong places. For some of you out there in the listening audience, you might describe it as a feeling of pure hell, a feeling of being a prisoner to your own thoughts, a restless feeling of straddling the fence between what you know is right and what you know is wrong. But one is a lot more fun than the other, so we can't seem to quite let go of that. Indecisiveness, a sense of feeling that if you do the thing you feel is wrong, that you won't be able to forgive yourself. Yet the tug to do it, the desire to do it, temporarily overrides the feelings of guilt you know you will feel tomorrow. A feeling of being estranged from our Heavenly Father. I'm sure you can think of many other ways to describe the thoughts that race through your own mind. So I'll let you fill in the blanks that relate to your particular situation. Have you ever found yourself in this predicament saying to yourself, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Or maybe you've caught yourself saying something like this. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. I see another law at work. waging war against the law of my body and my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin in my body. God just described what it's like to live in a death container, to be led by our emotions. And yet sometimes that wrong can feel so good. It has an allure about it, a magnetism. You can taste it, and all of your emotions are screaming, "Let's do it, let's do it." That doesn't make it the right thing to do, though. Your emotions cannot be trusted. It's important to remember that anything outside of God only meets the surface of your need and provides only a temporary relief. And therefore, the act must be repeated over and over again, because for all of your trying to find that satisfaction, to find that void in your life, satisfaction will not come. It is said that we spend our resources on bread, which alone do not satisfy. We devour, but we are still hungry. We eat, but we are not filled. The more you do what is wrong, the more you want what is wrong. It becomes a fixed pattern, a habit in our life. I say this all the time, but I will say it again, and probably many more times on my show. Where your mind wanders, your body will follow. Even the strongest of faith can be tempted and led astray sometimes. We have to wake up each morning and put on the full armor of God before we even leave the sanctuary of our own bedroom. When our feet hit the floor, we better be ready for battle, folks. For some of you, the journey has been long, very long, and rocky. I don't wish to minimize the difficulties you have faced. Some of you have been shouldered with burdens that few of us can even relate to or even carry. If the burden were to arise in our own lives, we might not have been able to have handled it as you have. Some of you have bid farewell to loved ones. Some of you have been robbed of lifelong dreams. Some of you have been given bodies that have long ago given out on you. You have spouses that don't understand you or only tolerate you. You have bills that outnumber the paychecks, challenges that outweigh your strength. Perhaps you never get to see your family anymore and have lost all contact with them. For some of us, it just seems to be one struggle after another, without a break in between the time from the last struggle to the next one. The struggles, the trials, and tribulations, they just keep seeming to roll into one another, into one long, endless struggle in life. You're tired. It's hard to see the kingdom in the midst of all the storms that seem to keep suppressing you. The desire to pull over on the side of the road and get out entices you. Some days you have more strength than others. Some days you want to go on, press forward. And yet, other days you're a thread's hair away from just throwing in the towel altogether. Some days you may ask yourself, what is the use in all of my persistence, my hard work? What do I have to show for it but heartache and more of the same? The narrow road seems pointless, and you can't see no good coming from it, from your long life, based on what you've already experienced. Some will say, to heck with it, and stray back into their old lifestyles because that road seems to hold a whole lot less effort. It seems more enjoyable, more free, more familiar, less work. If this is you today, I encourage you. God never said that the journey would be easy, but He did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Don't give up on what you know is right. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy. For those of you that find yourself on the fence, you don't have to give in to your temptations. You don't have to be like the world to have an impact on this world. You don't have to be like the crowd to change the crowd. You don't have to lower yourself down to the world's level of lifestyle. And in fact, you should be lifting them up to your level. Holiness does not seek to be awed. Holiness seeks to be like God. Set yourself apart from the things of this world. Don't build yourself up with the treasures of this world, but instead seek to build up your treasures in heaven. Think about that for a moment. A lot of folks ask this common question, how could a loving God send people to hell? It is my belief that this is a misconception. Remember when I said it earlier in my show that God does not force himself on us? First of all, God does not send people to hell. Listen closely. He simply honors our choice. Think about that for a moment. God simply honors our choice. We have free will. Secondly, by saying people, you are condemning all people, even the innocent. That's not true either. The rebellious, the self-centered, these are the ones. God has given us all free will, and he respects our choices, even if that means that his children have chosen to turn away from him and disown him. I would like to take a few moments to share some quotes with you. Let these quotes be fuel for thought in the days and the weeks ahead. I'm going to start out with one from Gandhi. I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet. I like that one. A lot of us should be thinking that. I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet. A man by the name of Steve is quoted as saying, people tend to be generous when sharing their nonsense, their fear, their ignorance, and while they seem quite eager to feed you their negativity, please remember that sometimes the diet we need to be on is a spiritual and emotional one. Be cautious with what you feed your mind and your soul. Fuel yourself with positivity and let that fuel propel you into positive action. Steve, that's some really good advice. Valdemir poses this thought. I have the feeling that something in my mind is poisoning everything else. Do you ever think that about yourself? Do you know what is poisoning you? Do you wish to remedy it, or are you satisfied with what you've got? A wise man named James Allen is quoted as saying, a man's mind is likened to that of a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their own kind. Did I not say, where the mind goes, the body follows? It's the same difference in this quote. You reap what you sow. Over and over, we are reminded of this truth in all things around us, good or evil. Ah, yes, and I almost forgot this one by Shannon Alder. Speaks a lot of truth. When you think yours is the only true path, you forever chain yourself to judging others and narrowing the vision of God. The road to righteousness and arrogance is a parallel road that can intersect each other several times throughout a person's life. It's often hard to recognize one road from the other. What makes them different is the road to righteousness is paved with the love of humanity, while the road to arrogance is paved with only the love of self. Wow, Now that statement stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? Folks, we are in a war every day. We see the casualties everywhere. And perhaps we are one of those casualties. One only has to look around and see people falling from disease, divorce, and many other various tragedies. Looking around us, looking at all the suffering, we may feel that the war is being lost. But in reality, we are losing a far more advanced war. It's the conflict, the battle that is in our mind. Each day, our minds are being bombarded with the constant stream of nagging thoughts, suspicions, temptations, doubts, resentments, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, anger, fears. Name your poison. While any of these things can make us feel defeated or worthless or devastated, we are most often plagued by many of these at the same time. These things will fill our daily lives with mental combat against many worldly aggressors. Since oftentimes we fail to identify the problem, we also fail to identify the foe. We tend to believe people and money, religion, or the system is our real problem. In an attempt to protect ourselves, we build certain strongholds in our mind. Strongholds are areas of thinking not based on truth, but on lies. The lies we tell ourselves, the things we tell ourselves to justify our actions, the means to the end. But instead of protecting us, they actually imprison us. Unless we are continually moving in the direction of renewing our minds with positivity, we risk continuing to believe the lies, and more importantly, we continue to live our lives based on our emotions. And we all know that our emotions cannot be trusted. Many of us have given in to the deception at one time or another in our lifetime. But how can these strongholds be torn down? Our search for truth starts with God's Word, which says the truth will set us free. But hold on. Merely searching for that truth is not going to bring you freedom from your strongholds. We must also be courageous enough to believe the truth. But even then, you are not out of the dark. Even when the truth illuminates what's inside you, it's sometimes very hard to accept these things about ourselves. It can oftentimes be a very long, painful process to face our deceptions and deal with them. It's so much easier to allow our past, or how we were raised, or the number of trials and tribulations we faced, etc., to negatively affect us for the rest of our lives. Folks, we must not water these seeds and let them take us prisoner for the rest of our lives. You may have some major strongholds in your life that need to be addressed. You may think you're not strong enough to overcome these battles, but I encourage you to keep saying to yourself, God is on my side. If God is for me, then who can be against me? I'm going to go ahead and take a very short break, one song, and then I've invited my husband Shaziz to join me for any final thoughts for the day. So I hope you'll enjoy this song, and I'll return momentarily.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? side.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's show has been pretty intense. The message is about the battle of the mind. If you are just tuning in, I strongly encourage you to look up today's message on my podcast page in a few hours, as soon as I've had the time to upload the pod. Invite your friends to listen with you, or share a link with someone who you think may be struggling with these issues in their own life. And at this time, I want to thank my husband Shaziz for making this appearance on my show and for giving us any final thoughts of his on this subject. What would you say to our listening audience today, Shaziz, about battling the mind?
Well, your mind can be your own worst enemy. It's the one that takes away the creativity, the artisticness of yourself whenever you draw a picture or you sing something and you just don't think it's good enough for anybody. The same thing applies anywhere in your life. Whenever you have doubts, you know, your mind is always telling you, I can't do this. The fact is, you can. Everyone out there was given amazing gifts and used properly. Those amazing gifts can go a long way. So in my personal life, whenever I come in touch with the Lord and started leaving my life like that and letting all the little things go by the wayside and not stressing over everything, I used to drive my wife nuts all the time because I would tell her, you know, don't sweat the little stuff, wait till the big stuff gets here, save all your energy kind of thing, you know. Not necessarily in those words, but that's pretty much paraphrasing it. But it rings true. You know, you worry about all the little things in life, it bottles up, and eventually that's going to slow you down. That's the way your mind can be your worst enemy. By storing all the bad things that's ever happened to you in your life, or all the things that you worried might be coming down the road, or whatever, it'll keep you under constant stress and always keep you from reaching your full potential in life with the talents that you do have. So I'm saying just try to look deep within yourself, and everyone's got a gift. There's not a single soul out there. You know, people say, well, I can't play guitar, and I can't play the drums, or I'm not an artistic, and I'm not mechanical, and there's nothing I can do. Well, they articulated that good enough to me that maybe they are a speaker instead of, you know, whatever. So, you know, with that said, look inside yourself and find those talents. Find the gift that you got and build upon it.
You know, while you were saying that, Shaziz, I was thinking too, you know, I was thinking of small children, you know, infant to maybe, I don't know, ages 7, 8, you know, maybe younger than that. But look at those small children. You know, look at how enthusiastically they look for life, you know. I mean, they, they're curious. They want to soak everything in like a sponge, and they look at everything brand new, and they look at everything in such an innocence that when you grow up, this world taints you, and it becomes, you know, the world and the people around you, they start to tell you, well, you can't do that, or you can't do that, or that's not proper, or that's not normal, you know, or that's odd, that's weird, that's this, that's that. Don't you wish you could go back to when you were very young, when you were an infant, when you were 5, or, you know, and just look at life like a small child again, before your image of this world was tainted and before you were taught that you couldn't do certain things, that certain things weren't proper.
Well, and on that note, encouragement could go a long ways as you're raising your children up, encouraging them. Had a recent episode here lately. If you follow me on Google Plus or whatever, you might have seen a note that I said that, you know, if anybody likes my mad science, go over and subscribe to this little kid's channel, because I was, as I was looking at the little video, he did a how-to on a how to build a helicopter out of some junk parts that he had laying around, and I thought he did a wonderful job. You know, I don't know how old this boy was. He's a young kid, but he made him a little how-to video, and they had people on there putting off filthy comments that, you know, something that you would expect to hear from one of the least of the adults. And so, anyway, that little bit of encouragement given to that boy, I hope that people went over and subscribed to his channel. Well, I know they did because he had more subscribers by the end of the day than he normally did, but it's one of those things that as you're raising people up, little kids up, you know, they look up to you. And what she was talking about, the you know, how they come into the world with you know, wide open eyes and just hungry for knowledge and all that, and when you start telling them that they can't do stuff, you start hindering their potential in life, and that to me is a tragedy. You need to encourage these kids. Maybe one day he'll be a really good researcher because somebody spoke up for him and said, you know, go over and subscribe to this kid's channel and support him, you know. Was it a fancy helicopter? No. But the fact that the little kid went through the step-by-step procedure and creatively made a little helicopter out of aluminum foil and tape and a battery and, you know, just junk laying around tells me that there's creativity in that boy's head that needs to be fed.
Well, as you're saying that, you know, that gave another thought to my mind, too. And I'm going to go down another rabbit hole for a moment, which isn't totally relative to the subject, but something I'd like to get off my heart. You know, it bothers me that so many people in this world think that they have to voice an opinion. You know, I mean, what purpose did it serve being negative to that boy? If you didn't like what he was doing or you didn't like the presentation or whatever, as an adult of all things, you know, why would you go and say or do something? It would be just as easy to not say anything at all. You know, why hinder his spirit because you know, a person thinks that they have to put their two cents worth in. And, yeah. You know, and I had a situation on my show last week. At the end of the show, someone made a comment about this show. And it's like, really? Why must you voice your opinion in such a negative way? If you don't like it, either turn it off or just keep your opinion to yourself if it doesn't serve a good purpose.
Yeah, the little boy reading in that chat room and seeing what people said about his little how-to could have been seriously discouraged, traumatized for life because people saying really filthy, and I mean filthy things to this boy. And it really sickened me. I actually made a couple comments on there, but anyway, you know, that same thing applies with show hosts out here. You know, there's a lot of show hosts out here that maybe have, you know, controversial. You don't necessarily agree with them, but like she said, you could always change the channel. You know, encouragement goes a long way. When it all comes down to it, at the end of the day, borrowing my friend Coltus's phrase, you know, we'll all know who's right or who's wrong. But in the meantime, keeping hope alive is the key to making our world a better place. It's not going to get better by you going around being negative to people you disagree with. And that's one of the things that I believe has kept the Knights of the Round Table going so strong for so long, is because when we do disagree, we do it respectfully. We're not trying to, you know, make ourselves sound bigger or better than the other guy who, you know, may have said something that we disagreed with. We respectfully, you know, disagree and, you know, tell them why and that kind of stuff.
Well, debate is healthy. And, you know, you can go about debate in a respectful manner, but just to bash someone with negativity because you don't agree with a certain topic or whatever, you know, that's not necessary.
Yeah, what makes anybody on this planet believe that they know all that there is to know? None of us know all there is to know. A lot of us are highly intelligent, and we've got ideas on how things all started, but not one of us were standing there when it all started, so could it have been an accident? The odds are highly unlikely as far as science goes, but, you know, either way, I couldn't prove or disprove either way because I wasn't there. My beliefs go on faith alone, and the things that I read and seen and my own experience in life on my own personal spiritual journey. So, you know, if you disagree with my spiritual journey, that's fine because you're walking your own path, and, you know, just try to you know, not discourage me from my own personal beliefs. Maybe one of these days we'll meet in the middle somewhere, you know, we'll find out who was right and who was wrong. But in the meantime, you want to make this world a better place. You're not going to do it by throwing, you know, essentially turds in the punch bowl, you know.
Well, you know, I totally believe this. This is what my folks taught me, and I live by it. You treat other people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, you show people the same respect that you would want to be shown to yourself. And so put yourself in the other person's shoes for a moment. If someone came on and bashed your work, would you like that?
Probably not. You know, if I was to go on there and say something contradicting what they're talking about in a hateful manner, first off, nobody likes to be wrong, you know, so they're going to try to use every bit of information that they got to try to be right. Whether they're going to end up being right at the end of the deal, maybe you might enlighten them if it's a healthy debate, but otherwise it's just going to be a argue and match, and you walk away one less friend. You know, and that's not the way we need to build things around here. This world's in a mess. We got to fix it.
There's no purpose in all that. You know, there's no purpose in negativity.
When I say we got to fix it, I mean all of us. You sitting on the couch, driving down the road, you got to help fix this mess. You know, there's a lot of evil going on in this world. It's going to take a whole lot of good people to stand up and use the power that is them. You got so much power in your body, it's just mind-boggling. You got the power of the spoken word. You got the power of the pen, the power of your actions. There's a lot of power in something as simple as a smile. And if you use those powers that you do have available to you and your gifts and talents, and you go around and you encourage people to think for themselves and try to be the best that they can be, you're going to make this world better a whole lot faster than you are going out there throwing negativity around. You're stupid because you believe in what you believe. What did you accomplish by that? In my eyes, all you did was just make the world just a little bit more of a messy place, because now this person's feelings are either hurt or they're mad, and they're going to project that onto somebody else, which is just the same thing as throwing the positive pebble in the pond. When you throw a negative pebble in the pond, those negative ripples will affect everyone out there in the pond. Even the New Agers will agree on that portion.
I agree. We've kind of got off on a wormhole on that, but
it's all related.
But it is all related in some way, you know, because it all does go back to the battle of the mind, you know, and
it is a battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a struggle for your mind. The information war. People out there are always trying to convince you of something, you know. And we're not trying to convince anybody of anything outside the fact that this is the way we lead our lives. And if it works for us, maybe it'll work for you. If it doesn't work for you, we still love you just the same.
Exactly. You know, in my eye and in my husband's eye, I mean, we think all of you are exactly the same. You know, every single one of us are, you know, the same in God's eyes, and we love equally without prejudice. And I had an incident while I was on my Wyoming vacation where there was this Mexican man, and he came up and he was visiting with me, and I was talking to him just like I'd been a friend to him forever, like I'd known him forever, and I never even met him before that moment. And this Mexican man, he kept asking me, "Why are you so nice to me? Why are you so nice to me?" And I kept telling him, "Because you're a person. You know, you haven't done anything to me. Why would I not be nice to you?" And he started asking me, you know, racial questions about the color of his skin, you know. And I don't know. Perhaps this man had had some issues with that in the past, but you know, he came away thinking, I don't know what he came away thinking about me, but, you know, he kept repeating himself the same questions, and I said, "I'm not a prejudiced person. I don't see your skin. To me, you're not Mexican. To me, you're a human being sitting in front of me. We're having a wonderful conversation, you know, and that's the way I see that."
Well, not only are we spiritual beings, but we are social beings, and anybody who is a social being and feeling like they're outside of any particular group that they may be standing in, you know, there was times if I walked into certain communities, whether it be the black community or the Hispanic community, I felt like, an outsider. I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there, you know, something was wrong. And that didn't come from my own personal heart. That came from being around and hearing things about racial issues and stuff like that that transferred over. And, you know, I wasn't actually looking at them people the same way. I was looking at them slightly different. Like, should I be afraid? Or, you know, what do I do? What do I say that I don't offend these individuals, you know? And it took a lot of time in my life to finally get around. It is a struggle with the mind. There's no doubt about it. The mind, the heart, all that stuff. And, you know, society, each and every one of us play a part in that by whatever it is that we decide to put out, negativity or positivity. Show somebody that no matter what color they are, they're a human being, and you'll have that person going around treating everybody equal, and that's what we all want, isn't it?
Well, when I was in this place, we were sitting at this place visiting, and he was alone, and he was sitting. I guess apparently he had been, later on when he came up to visit with me, he said he had been watching me for a while with my daughters and things, and he said that there was just, he came up to me, he approached me, and he started visiting with me, and he said that there was just, he could tell he had been watching me, which is kind of creepy, but anyway, that's not the point. He said that, you know, he'd been watching me, and that I appeared to be totally different than anyone he'd ever met before. And, you know, I just struck up a conversation with him like I'd known him forever, you know, like I was just his best friend, you know. And we visited for a very long while, but it was just, to me, it was so sad because he clearly had self-confidence problems, you know, because he kept asking why I was so nice to him and stuff. And it really broke my heart that there's this man who's alone in this establishment, and he thinks I'm something different, and he can't understand why I would give him the time of day. You know, why I would visit with a total stranger like I had known them my whole life. It just baffled him. And I find that to be very sad, because there's a lot of people in this world out there today that are battling that same thing as well. You know, I don't know. That's not within my nature. You know, everybody's a friend.
Well, you know, those are some fascinating words. We're down to the wire here, my love, and this is a great show. I hope everybody found something good in there, and so I guess we're going to play you up out of here with a tune whenever she drags it over and drops it in the box.
And hopefully it's a smooth transition.
Radio silence going on.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes my transitions...
What happened to ladies multitasking? Huh?
I don't know.
You need to get some man powers like I got.
Well, it's time to start wrapping things up today, and I want to thank all of you out there for being a part of my Hope Show today, and I want to thank my husband, Shaziz, for joining me in these final moments and sharing his views on the subject as well.
Yeah, respect my man powers.
Anyway, until next Saturday, same time, same place, same station, God bless each and every one of you, and I hope you will all have a very blessed week. And I'm going to play us up out of here with a little tune called God's Not Dead by the Newsboys.
I think that's New Boys, not Newsboys.
God's
not
dead.
Oh.
God's not dead. God's not dead. Somehow
surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring, roaring like a lion. Let hope rise and make the darkness hide. Faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. No, I'm lost in your freedom. And this world I'll overcome. My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Of revival, let heaven rise.